Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Hockey's okay. Favorite part of the tie, daytime. I didn't know which word to go with. Damn it.
Fail.
Jacob's here.
Fail.
You fucked up your own introduction. Jesus Christ. Congratulations. You're late and you fucked it up. Good job.
I succeed where it counts.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki, Jacob, and Bree are here.
Yep. Yay!
Yay!
I had to keep Jacob's awful intro.
Well, yes. I mean, like, how couldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that you were recording, but, you know, I was prepared for it.
Jacob, it's always recording.
Always?
Yes.
Always.
Oh.
Until I hit... Okay, we're done recording. It's always recording.
Yay!
Exactly.
So
speaking of yay, Injury, thank you for subbing. You subbed before we went live. Thank you so much.
Yay!
Always appreciate the support and having you here. And enjoy the kitty cat emotes and all that fun stuff. How's everyone doing?
That's more support than Joe's bra gives.
Yeah. How's everyone doing?
Aside from tired, I'm okay, yeah.
Jacob talks and everyone's just like,
did I just have a stroke?
Those are the fun buttons we make now.
One day I will make it to the board.
We'll get you there. One day we'll get you there.
Just have to say something dumb enough to be put on there. That's all.
I was going to say, Bree, you're going to have to give up your journalistic integrity to make up something to be on the board. So
yeah,
I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to like be worse than us, which frankly I don't know if you're up to the task.
Settle!
It's a wrestling one.
I know,
he's just pushing buttons now.
Yeah, there's a few of them I don't recognize. You've Aki added a few buttons. More
like that's not something that she does on the regular.
Aki sees new buttons and she's all like,
holy shit!
That was actually going to be the next one, so yes. You've added 6 of them since I last looked at this.
Yeah, we add a lot. I get bored.
Ooh, and I knew what 2 of them were. Awesome.
I'm the beef!
Yeah, I was waiting for you to click that one.
hell?
That's our friend Dave K.
Nice.
He hasn't been on in a while.
He's on like Tuesday episodes when he shows up.
Well, yeah, I know, but even then, he's not.
Yeah, it's been a while. Big Adam's going to be on, I believe, this coming Tuesday or Monday that we're doing it.
Oh, what's special about that Tuesday?
Pernell and Chris both have concerts to go to.
So the rest of us are showing up to be kind or something.
Oh.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, wrestling is on Tuesday next week. So that worked out perfectly without me even realizing it.
Well, then.
Yeah. So, should we get to news? I don't have much this week.
Oh, yeah, I should probably dig up articles.
You have more than I do, so you're good enough.
All right, then, Aki, what's your news?
We all still exist somehow. There you go.
Good job.
Yeah.
That's not news. That's...
For some of us, it's news. Just let her have this one.
No.
Yes.
She doesn't let me have crap.
I let you have all the crap. Crap is fully your domain, dude.
Yeah, yeah. My dear. Do you hear
my
that
dude
flirting with me?
Fuck nugget.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you don't have to take crap because you leave them all the time.
Well, I flush. I can't speak for Aki in her domain. I don't know what she does in that yard. I mean, she might holy shit in that yard.
So anyway, Game Pass update for the first half of October, and it's a lackluster one.
Oh.
Yeah. Five games, two of them are just re-additions to Game Pass Standard.
Okay, what are those?
MLB The Show and Open Roads.
Okay.
They're already in Game Pass Ultimate. They're just going to Standard now.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah, because now we have layers, and it gets confusing.
Yeah.
And it's stupid.
Yeah, it is. It's annoying because now I have to, like, specify which tiers these games are for.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it
is. Is somebody talking in the background?
I was wondering the same thing.
I don't think so.
Aki, stop watching Murder, She Wrote.
Fine.
October 2nd, Sifu joined Game Pass Ultimate and Standard.
Nice. Aki reviewed that one, didn't she?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
that's a fantastic game.
That's the one where, like, you're like a ninja running down the hallway and, like, you age every single time you die or something like that, right? Is that the game I'm thinking of?
You're not a ninja, but yes.
Okay. Or you fight ninjas, right? No? Okay.
One of them is a ninja, I guess.
All right. One out of 50 enemies ain't bad.
Yeah. You have the gist right. It's yes.
Yeah.
You got the aging thing right. That's the main.
Well, that was the whole gimmick, so yeah. Close enough. Okay.
Yeah, it seemed interesting, but it was one of those games where I'm like, I don't want to be the one who has to review this or pay money for it, so it's good that it's going to be on Game Pass.
It's really fun, it's hard as fuck, but it is so fun.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, it's the difficulty level that I was like, pass. Yeah, I'm 39, I ain't got time for that.
That is fair. October 7th, Mad Streets is joining Ultimate and Standard.
Mad Streets?
Yes.
It's a beat-em-up?
Yeah, an older one.
Okay.
It's a game.
It's a game. Mad Streets. It qualifies as a game.
It sure is a thing. And then October 10th, Inscription is joining Game Pass Ultimate.
Yay!
And Standard.
Cool.
Fantastic game.
Heard a lot of good about that.
Yeah, there you go. Really good.
Is Inscription the one with the shotgun or the one where you're playing cards?
Cards.
Okay.
It's not all mediocre news, though, because games have to leave Game Pass, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I usually say it's not all good news, but I don't think the lineup was that good.
Yeah. But,
five games leaving the service with Dyson Sphere Program leaving PC. And then Everspace 2, From Space, F1 Manager 23, and Scorn all leaving Game Pass.
Scorn was a good one.
Yeah, anyone who hasn't finished Scorn, just take a day after work and beat it.
Which one is I take a day after work and beat it all day too.
Ew. That
Aki walked into that one. That's her own fault.
The 2 seconds it takes you to beat that is an all afternoon. I'm sorry, my dude.
Yeah, but that's why I said all day.
Fair, 2 seconds might be all that's left of the day. Fair, you got me.
No, I was, oh my god, I was applying multiple times.
I don't believe that at all.
Alright, so after like the 6th, I start blowing dust, whatever. This Scorn game looks wild. Like, this is, dang, these screenshots look.
Yeah,
it's creepy as hell. Oh my god, this
like,
show.
Does it do like jump? Oh, okay, it's a shooter. Okay.
It's more of it's a walking more, sim yeah, than walking anything. Sim. With some puzzle elements and occasional shooting.
Do you put your, are you putting something into your arm?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
The game is all about biomechanical bullshit, and a lot about sex stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks very H.R. Giger.
That's because it is.
Oh, did he work on this?
No.
Or just inspired by?
Just inspired.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I'm actually going to go check that out.
Yeah, it'll only take you 4 hours, maybe, to 100% it. 4 to 6, something like that. Yeah, it's a quick game.
That's a very attractive thing to say to me.
Yeah, that's why I told everyone, take a day after work and just beat it.
I was going to say, I probably spent more like 8 to 10 hours on it, but like I took my time and I didn't use a guide or anything, so, but it's a 5 to 6 hour estimate.
Okay.
There you go. Our Game Pass news. Nintendo Switch Online, Game Boy Advance news for October 11th. They're getting F-Zero GP Legend and F-Zero Climax, which was formerly Japanese only.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, some more F-Zero coming to Game Boy Advance Online.
Nifty.
Yeah, big news. Big news this week.
Woo!
Last bit of news I have, I told you I didn't have a lot. Forza Horizon 5 is getting hide-and-seek mode of one car attempting to blend in with traffic to get to a set location while five cars try to seek them out. The game got a new achievement or a new achievement list for the mode as well. I think 10 new achievements.
Huh. I wonder how that mode's going to play. Do you just crash into the person who's supposed to be hiding? So. Like, what the fuck? That sounds bitchin'. I think that would be a great mode.
Bree, what news do you have?
Sea of Stars is getting a free Dawn of Equinox update on November 12th with local co-op up to 3 players. It's got a speedrunner mod or mode. I can't even read my own notes. 3 difficulty options and more. And that's ahead of its other DLC coming out later. Let's see. 11-Bit Studios pushed back the release of The Alters to early 2025.
Is the season for delays, I guess.
Yeah, February is going to be lit.
Already.
Yeah, let's see. An indie studio called Black Flag shut down after a dispute with their publisher, and their game Orphan Age is in limbo at the moment.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Never the good. Only other bit of news I have is Disney Dreamlight Valley. Take it away, Jacob.
How did? Oh, I was like, "It's gonna be so sad."
He was so hurt by that.
It was such betrayal.
That's the second time I've gotten you with that.
I know.
You should have betrayed him.
Damn it. Anyway, so big news for Disney Dreamlight Valley. Next week, the next Star Path starts up. And with that, Timon and Pumbaa are going to be dropping in the game. And so you're going to have to go back into the jungle, which is like the Lion King biome, whatever you want to call dream, whatever the heck they call it. I don't know. Anywho. So it's going to be a lot of jungle related fashion and accessories, furniture and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm always psyched when we get new characters. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to seeing like what the items are on this Star Path.
Cool. What else you got?
Oh, I thought that was still like Breeze.
No, I'm done.
Oh. Okay. Aki, did you have anything?
He was the first one to go.
Always the first one. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't listen to you. I was just being polite.
That's fair. Yeah, you know.
Anywho.
He would if I wasn't always first and had always been first forever.
Technically, I'm first, but
yeah, I was gonna say
it's alphabetical.
Is it?
Naki,
no, because
cockface.
Yep.
A B C.
Excuse me. I prefer.
You want to be D?
You're very face.
You want cockface or dick face?
I'll go with schlong face.
Just putting yourself at the bottom of the list.
Hey there, guy. Why the schlong face?
So, what other news do you want? Oh, Wright's going to love this episode.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. Well,
good thing I warn everybody not to listen to the rest of the episode.
That's fair. So the online game Islands of Insight is closing its servers next month. It's like an online kind of like multiple person. Like, I mean, because usually when I say co-op, I mean just like you and one other person, but like it's a cooperative puzzle game. However, the nice thing is that the devs are, they had already released an offline mode in July, so the game world will stay intact and you can still play the game. Can't do the social stuff anymore. Which,
that's awesome.
Which apparently players said isn't a loss anyway. Microsoft is discontinuing the HoloLens headset. It's officially done.
Yeah, it's a bummer. That had so much potential and they never went anywhere with it.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It was supposed to be a mixed reality headset.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, the only...
What's that, Aki?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. You cut out for a second.
Yeah, the only thing...
Aki, you cut out again at the best part.
Are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck?
You cut out at the same part both times. That's only great. And then nothing.
All right. Apparently the world just doesn't want me to say anything, so I'm just going to be quiet now.
Try it one more time.
The only thing I remember about it, oh my god, it's still showing me a speaking, was when they displayed it with Minecraft.
Yeah, during E3 the one year.
Yeah, where they were like using some sort of cable or something and seeing everything in 3D and they were able to move blocks and shit.
Yeah, that was really cool when they did that. It had such potential and such cool, unlimited, untapped, futuristic potential to it, and they just went nowhere with it.
Yeah, I didn't even know it ever actually came out, because that's literally the only thing I know about it.
I'm guessing just the cost of entry was too prohibitive for most people to get into it.
Wouldn't shock me. Yeah.
The studio that released Hitman 3 VR Reloaded, XR Games, is laying off nearly all of its staff.
Well, that sucks donkey balls.
Yeah.
Apparently it's still going... It has yet to officially announce this happening, and it doesn't. And people are unsure about the status of Zombie Army VR and Starship Troopers Continuum with this redundancy. Suicide Watch. Jeez, Suicide Squad killed Justice League. So they got a new character named Lawless this week, who. I don't even know who that is. I think that's a newer character. I'm trying to find.
Damn, I doubt anyone knows who that is, and I don't think anyone plays it anymore.
Well, I'm getting to that. So, in the first 24 hours of the new season of Suicide Squad, the most amount of concurrent players in a 24-hour period was 248.
That is a lot more than I expected.
Damn.
I was waiting for it to be like 13 or something. It's not doing good, but it's not as bad as I thought.
Jumping
We've had some epic flops this year. Jeez.
We have. Nothing beats Concord, though.
I mean, yeah. Almost like people don't want to pay for live service.
Yeah.
How strange. It's
almost like we've been saying it for years, but people still shove that shit out anyway. Thimber was saying that one site was saying the end of HoloLens may be connected to the fact that Meta and Xbox might work something out. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, huh. That makes sense, because I've been getting ads on Facebook about like the Meta VR goggles, and they show it like working with an Xbox. I didn't even think about that. I just assumed that was
calling me shocked.
That I wasn't going to, you know, look at anyway.
I don't think we're going to see VR come to Xbox, though, but I don't know.
I mean, that would be cool.
It would. I just don't see it happening. I mean, Sony's.
Maybe with this, like, what do you think? Maybe like with this console generation?
I don't think we'll see anything this generation. I think Sony has effectively scared off people from wanting to do VR on console because of how the VR2 has basically flopped. They're still trying to kind of push it, but it doesn't seem like even Sony cares anymore.
Yeah, but the thing is that if that Meta partnership actually is pretty damn smart, because then it's just Xbox is making their product work with it. Like, they're not responsible for any of the bullshit that Facebook or Meta has to take care of. That's not a bad plan. And maybe that's like Microsoft just being like, yo, VR, come over here. We've already got an established product. Like, bring it on.
Maybe. How would it hook up to a Series X?
I don't know. Like, that's why I was saying maybe next console generation. Yeah.
Because the Series X doesn't even have USB-C ports.
Unless they're going to make an adapter.
It would still be bottlenecked by USB. There's no other ports you could plug it into.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying,
I'm just wondering, like, where the end game is with this rumor, but...
I don't know, but you know what? They should also hook up an N-Gage.
What other news do you have?
Oh, man, the disgusted look on your face after you heard that. I love it. I love it. The developers, Fantastic, or F-Fantastic, however the heck you were supposed to pronounce it, the devs behind that zombie open world survival game the day before that, you know, got yanked after like a day or whatever.
Yeah, it was less than 24 hours.
They're back. And they're starting up a Kickstarter.
Can we not give them attention?
I mean, it's gaming news, so I was, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think they deserve the attention. So okay. What other news?
All right. Well, the only
I just don't think they deserve it. They're shysters. Fuck them.
Yeah, they're scam artists. 100%.
So the only other thing is that Kotaku yesterday had a, which would be October 2nd for all you listening at home. Kotaku had an interesting piece about Microsoft. Apparently, they're now asking devs why they're not releasing stuff on Xbox, like. Instead of like trying to make the devs come to them, they're going to go to the devs now.
Hmm.
Yeah, I read that article too. There's like some speculation, you know, about the S being part of the problem and, you know, some struggles that developers are having doing the parody. I mean, I don't know.
A lot of issues I've seen come down to contact, and like, I don't know if there's communication issue somewhere that Microsoft needs to work out, but it seems like developers have a hard time getting in touch with people anymore.
Well, that's what they're they actually have like a doctor, like somebody who with a doctorate who's like in charge of human experience or something like that. All right, here's a quote. If you're making video games, we're interested in hearing from you. If you aren't on Xbox, we'd love to know why. And honestly, if you're using our competitors' products, you probably have a great perspective that they could learn from. And they're trying to prevent themselves from having some sort of echo chamber. So, I mean, that's maybe this is why Square Enix and Capcom, like, you know, why we got those sudden announcements about Xbox releases.
Maybe.
Plus, I mean, there was also, as you said, that one indie dev that was just like, yo, fuck Microsoft. They've been nothing but a pain in the ass. So,
yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it leads to more games coming to Xbox, but the future will tell.
Yep.
Anything else?
I was going to end it with Disney Dreamlight stuff, but, you know, then Bree did that, you know, mean trick to me. So my news is ending sooner than I thought.
You don't have any movie news?
No, surprisingly.
We have a fucking intro made for you, and this is like 2 weeks in a row we can't use it.
We used it last week, didn't we? Wait, no.
You weren't here.
Yeah, I got to use it while you weren't here.
Ooh. Well, that's exciting. What did you... What? That's not even related, but thank you. So what movie news last week did you talk about, Brie?
The Fallout TV show getting 2 Emmys and the fact that there was, back in April, a deal made to make a movie out of El Paso Elsewhere.
Oh, huh.
So that could be in the works. No more info since April, though.
I mean, I know it's
movie really- watch. There. We used
you know what? Game. All right. There. You know what? There have been Voltron video games in the past, and Amazon and MGM have actually started casting for their movie.
Wait, is this nice. Movie watch? Is this officially movie watch?
Well, yeah, I mean, now it is.
Watch. There.
But I just reported the news back like a minute ago.
Does that mean it's the end of the segment? George, hit the music. Oh, wait, no, Grant, hit the music. It's movie watch. There.
So is it done? Is that the opening and closing?
I don't know. You tell me.
Am I just on an infinite loop of now talking about like Voltron the movie?
It's movie watch. There.
Oh God, I'd rather be stuck in raging loop than this. Like, this is the worst kind of looping. Well, so anyway, Amazon. So Amazon and MGM have finally started casting for their Voltron movie.
Yay.
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 My side hurts now. Oh, God.
I wish my silent laughter was picked up by the microphone. For how much shit we're giving you right now. Oh, my God. Yeah, what other news you got?
Oh, that's it. I didn't have any movie news. I told you that. I had to pull that one out of my ass. Like, that's why I was like, well, there's like, I mean, there's Voltron video games. Like, my kids love playing the Xbox 360 one.
I would just like to make a point that trying to pull Voltron out of your ass sounds really uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, thankfully it comes apart.
He's used to it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time I've stuck five things up my butt.
What do you think of that, Purnell?
Fucking no!
I'll form the head. No.
Oh, I'm dying over here.
It's really just five guys, and like when they put their hands together, they pull out this huge dildo.
All right, should we get to reviews?
We should. You should probably already also let the people in chat get to talk again.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll turn off emote only, and then someone's gonna turn it right back on.
Joe is cruel but benevolent at the same time dictator.
I love that they had the emote chat only on, and Thimber DM'd me as like, please turn it off. I have news. I turned it off, and then Trash Rando immediately turned it back on. I love it. Oh, I love our viewers. Good stuff.
Thimber says he's going to leave.
If anyone does that, I'm going to leave. Okay, review. Should we get to reviews?
Let's get to reviews.
Let's get to reviews.
I'm not clipping that.
That's fine. I didn't expect you to.
Good.
First item to talk about tonight is the Turtle Beach Stealth 700 Gen 3 headset, designed and sold by Turtle Beach, available in cobalt blue on Xbox, white on PlayStation, and general black for $199.99. Premium multi-platform audio perfected, Turtle Beach's third generation Stealth 700 debuts an extensive list of class-leading features and improvements that surpass the previous generation, as well as competitive offerings, placing it at the top of premium headsets. Bree, I guess first off, we could reveal the big surprise that you've been on the headset this whole time.
The whole time.
Yay.
Yay.
The whole time.
So tell us about this headset, because we've heard how good it sounds already. So tell us, how does it feel? How does it work? How is setup?
I have a whole lot of info for you. So first of all, this is my first time using Turtle Beach headphones of any kind. I have specific needs and ideas about what my headphones should be, and I've never before seen Turtle Beach that fit what I was looking for when I was in the market. But I've owned various headphone brands and price at different price points to compare to while looking at the Stealth 700 for this review. So first off, let's talk about some specs and features. These are wireless headphones, which is an absolute necessity for me because of the cats and the insane amount of wires I already have everywhere in my setup in a very small space. What drew me to the Stealth 700 was the up to 80 hour battery life. I've been known to be on headphones for up to 16 hours in a day doing some hardcore gaming. Just the idea that I wouldn't need to charge my headphones more than twice a week feels like a luxury. In addition, there's a speed charge built in where I was able to recharge to full in about 3 hours. I gave them a full charge at the start and tried to drain them and track the hours. I think I had them fully charged and ready to go on Saturday. I'd say I got in at least 70 hours before I finally felt like I needed to charge them a few hours before the show.
Oh, wow.
So I'm back to 100%. I can check on the app, you know, how that goes. I'll talk about that in a minute. It features 60mm Eclipse dual drivers, which delivers deep bass. The dual drivers have a distinct woofer and tweeter separating low and high frequencies, which boast improved audio quality over conventional drivers with a frequency range of 20 Hz to 20 kHz. The Swarm 2 app does firmware updates over the air with mobile app using your phone's Bluetooth. With the app, you can remap controls, adjust audio quality, mic monitoring and sensitivity. You can see your battery life and more. The first thing I needed to do was install the app on my phone to do a firmware update. Process was pretty easy. Took you step by step. Took a good 5 minutes to complete. You can use the app on PC to do the same functions once you've hooked it up there. Crossplay multi-platform technology comes with two USB wireless transmitters, one for Xbox and the other for PC, PlayStation, or Switch, which you can use with the USB dock on Switch, which means you can change between two devices with the flip of a switch. There's also a visual indicator on the transmitters as to which one you're on. And then on top of that, it also has Bluetooth, so you can connect your phone, tablet, PC, or any other Bluetooth devices that accept this simultaneously wirelessly, so you could answer your phone and still hear the game you're playing on Xbox.
That's cool.
Or like me, I listen to my PC audio, like music and streams. I listen to YouTube, listen to podcasts, all that stuff.
You listen to podcasts? What?
Are you
cheating on us?
Yes, with a younger, sexier podcast.
This became a necessity for me since I got a hold of the technology. So
this is yet another
set of headphones that can do the simultaneous audio. For my stream setup specifically, I do PC audio for party chat when I play Sea of Thieves, and I need to be able to hear certain alerts and things for the stream. So that all comes through the Bluetooth. And then I have the Xbox audio at the same time going on. So that's that. It has a unidirectional flip to mute mic. I'm so used to a button, I'm still not sure how I feel about this after about 80 hours of use. Sometimes I needed a quicker mute than flipping. Other times I just needed to be mindful of the noises I was making. The flip is solid, but a little stiff, and so the speed feels a little slow. And there is a visual indicator for when it's muted on the transmitter, which I thought was really handy. My cat was going crazy watching it last night. She's like, what is this new blinking light? I don't like it. Both the transmitter and the Bluetooth range was great. I was able to walk around all over my house with the headphones and not lose signal. It's a low latency 2.4 gigahertz transmitter with the Bluetooth version 5.2 dual source. Let's talk about form and design. Stealth 700 are a sleek piece of equipment. I got the black ones with the accent color, and the arms are a nice gunmetal color. It also comes in cobalt blue with bronze accents for the Xbox, white with gunmetal for the PlayStation. The microphone is a rigid piece that snaps up seamlessly into place instead of retracting or bending. You can slightly swivel the mic closer to your mouth once it is in the down position, which is subtle and smooth. First big win for me is that at its base size, it's actually small enough to comfortably fit on my head where the cups aren't resting on my ears. Part of that not resting on my ears is also due to the almost teardrop shape that better fits the position of ears over a regular round or oval piece. It also expands to a really generous size for normal size adults who don't wear child size hats. The ear cushions are faux leather with memory foam, and they are thick. While they don't come off easy, which is a plus, you can replace the cushions if need be. The nuance to the ear cup shape and the cushions make these very glasses friendly. I only wear blue light glasses to protect my eyes when I'm in front of the screen right now, but, I don't want to have to wear glasses any earlier than I need to. So that's the glasses that I'm wearing now. Why not? Just get used to the glasses. It's a whole cycle. Anyway, so I went to the other human in the house who normally wears glasses for seeing and has a much bigger head to try on the Stealth and compare. He also found them to be really comfortable once he got them up to size and agreed they didn't put a lot of pressure near the arms of his glasses. I also noticed it was a lot easier to take my glasses on or off and then put them back on without removing the headphones, which was like really a game changer. So the cups swivel flat. And the junction there feels sturdy, and they are metal reinforced, which I would say in comparison to something like the Stealth Series Arctis 9X, which is one of the primary sets I've been using for years, which would be in the same class as the Stealth 700, both in price and quality or features. The Arctis has weak junctions for the ear cups, and that's just not okay for heavy use like I do. This is the most comfortable headset I have in my house right now.
That is saying a lot.
That is saying a lot. I got a fair few that I've gone through, and this is the most comfortable, and that includes like the other person's headphones. Like I've tried his on before. Like these are the most comfortable things in the house.
I have to say, I'm disappointed when you were talking about the foam cushions. You didn't say they were
thick.
Thick. I know, right?
Button for that. They're
thick.
Oh, goodness. So let's talk about sound and microphone quality, because these are headphones, after all. I've decided, after some tests, to actually do the Discord call tonight. We already got that surprise out of the way. So if I sound a little different, that's why. Normally, I'm using my Elgato Wave 3 stream mic, so you have a comparison in sound. This is good quality sound for my input. I've got other headphones I use for the call, similar to what I do on my stream. Again, this is a unidirectional mic, so it doesn't pick up a lot of outside noise. It boasts an AI noise reduction and echo cancellation. In the app, I can add a noise gate if I feel like I need additional help. You can also adjust mic monitoring in the app, and I have mine turned off. Makes me so happy. I know, Joe, you've said you need the mic monitoring. I need it turned off.
Max. I need to hear myself echoing through my own head so I know what's going on.
I got to be able to hear the natural sound with like zero delay, zero anything.
Like if I don't have mic monitoring on, to me, that's what it sounds like to me.
That's fair. I think the quality sounds good enough. I could use this as a stream mic in a pinch, which means communication and games are going to be really clear coming from my end. It also has some equalizer presets, like their signature sound, full, clarity, and smooth. I think my teammates liked clarity best overall. I think the signature sound is a really good default. That's what I'm using now. even though it wasn't specifically mentioned, these are also probably the most noise-canceling headphones I have in the house, which helps with audio fidelity. As for the sound, back when I used to work in live audio and stage production, I had a go-to song I'd use to test speakers and setups. It's The Battle from the movie Gladiator. So I dusted off this 10-minute classic piece of audio to see where we were at. There were some segments of the treble that got muddled at high volume on one of the settings, so I switched the preset and it got better. There are built-in EQ modes here too you can adjust in the Swarm 2 mobile app and the desktop app. The signature sound default is really nice. There's a bass boost, a bass and treble boost, and a vocal boost. And then you can bring up the equalizer and adjust frequencies to your own liking and save up to 4 presets for different games or movies.
Ooh.
Which is pretty luxury right there, like being able to have that many presets. Overall, the headphones passed my test for that song, and I moved on to my new favorite album by Bear McCreary to play around some more. I was able to hear stuff I hadn't heard before in the music, which is great because Bear plays with some very unique instrumentation for his works, even in a hard rock metal album. I know, I had to use unique. He really does. Man, this guy has like figured out how to use a kazoo and not make it sound like a kazoo. He plays the hurdy-gurdy. He puts the coolest stuff in there. But these are for gaming and boast something called superhuman hearing trademark. So I set to Sea of Thieves, where good audio and knowledge of your ship noises can make all the difference in battle and keeping your ship afloat. Separation of sound was amazing. I was able to make the best use of the game's audio mastering to hear where the holes in my ship were, which direction the cannon fire was coming from. I could hear the splashes of an enemy trying to board before I ever saw them. If you're a fan of multiplayer shooters like COD, you want to have the ability to hear footsteps and differentiate where gunshots are coming from to enhance your ability to fight and survive, and this will do that. You also have 3 volume adjust wheels on the headset. On the left, you have 2. There's the game volume overall, and then there's a chat mixer. So you can mix between party audio and game audio. And then on the right, you have a separate wheel just for the Bluetooth audio. So if you're listening to music or streams with the Bluetooth, it doesn't interfere with your Xbox audio at all.
You can
completely separate wheels. Yeah, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. But with anything, there's going to be some downsides. So let's talk about the downsides. Requiring the USB transmitter to connect to Xbox can be problematic for me because other peripherals, like say the PDP Victrix Pro BFG controller, also needs a USB dongle to connect. And there only being 1 USB on the front of my Xbox Series X, that's a problem. Seeing as how my stream gaming rig is in a tight space with lots of wires, it's a pain to try and move and see about using one of the USBs on the back, which turned out I only had 1 left. I had some weird issues with OBS that eventually I found a solution for because the Bluetooth sets have 2 versions of the audio as headphones and headset. It's really only an issue if you're a streamer, and I totally got it solved. Sometimes I had a hard time getting the app to sync to the headphones. I'd have to shut down the app and restart. Not a deal breaker. On a personal note, they really pushed the phone app as the way to do the firmware updates, and I barely had enough space to run the app on my phone, even after deleting several apps. But that's because I have an old phone. If anybody wants to give me a new phone, you just let me know. I'll totally review it. The app was also not 100% reliable in reporting my battery life. So earlier today, it dropped down from 48% down to like 8% in an hour. It gave me some warning beeps to let me know, which was good. But there was a little bit of a disparity there. But I figured the warning beeps were telling me that my battery life was low. And I did the math and I was like, oh, I got like 70 hours out of this easy. It's just time for it to go. I just lost track of time. So the other weird thing, if I shut off the Xbox, the headphones turn off, even if I wanted to continue using them for Bluetooth. Easy enough to turn them back on. It was just weird. But yeah, I'm ready for a verdict.
Well, these are $200 headphones, so they aren't cheap. Are the features worth it? Is the sound quality worth it? Give us all of your opinions on this.
This is a sophisticated pair of wireless headphones. It's full of technological features and solid design. If you're in the market for a high-end set of headphones, this is one to keep at the top of your list. If you need wireless that does more for your lifestyle and multi-platform gaming, this should be your next big look. I am absolutely the target audience for these based on my needs and interests. If you have the budget for this, it's a buy it. even with it requiring the transmitter, I like these better than the Steel Series that I've been using for years.
Oh, wow. Very good. It sounds like
these are my new permanent headphones.
It looks like they found a good home.
Yes. Yes, they did.
So any other thoughts on the headset that you want to tell us?
Did I mention how comfortable they are? I can seriously wear these things for like 16 hours and then not be bothered at all. Like, I barely notice that they're there.
That because the ear pads are
thick.
That is one part of it. Also, good design.
There you go. All right, moving on. We're going to talk about Moving Houses, developed and published by Gordon Little, released October 1st on Steam for $12.99. A silly little physics-based game about moving. Is it? Be neat, be careful, and be a chaos goblin. Choice is yours, but be warned, not all is as it seems in this quiet little house. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Aki, how about you start off? What is Moving Houses?
Or I can start.
Okay, that works too.
You start off with a cozy, unassuming game about moving houses. You need to find the things and pack the truck. You can do things neatly or chaotically. You can pick things up and throw them into the truck. Some things need to be boxed first. Others can be put right on the truck. There is a convenient icon to help you determine which is which. There are tasks to perform that show up in the top right of the screen. As you complete your tasks, like clearing out the front or backyard, you get a star and a satisfying little jingle, and you unlock a new skill like running or jumping. Pretty satisfying to pack this truck. There's no Tetrising needed to get things in there, and it just makes a little gleam noise and a beautiful little visual effect, and poof, it's on the truck perfectly. There's a pretty chill little packing game about liminal spaces. It's a joy to pack. And at first, there's nothing too weird, just some things falling off the walls. The only music inside the house is the radios that you pack, and then the music goes away. Other than that, it's just the low rumble of the air conditioner. You just happily go along your day as the light moves across the sky, packing away. You just have the bathroom yet to clean. Strange. This house doesn't have a bedroom to pack. Oh, wait. Yes, there is. How could I forget the bedroom? That door. Did I just miss that door in the middle of the dining room? Nope. I walked around to the back of the house because that's not right. And sure enough, there's a window into the dining room where the bedroom door should be. And this is where the game starts to get interesting. Now it's dark out. We've not done the upstairs. There isn't a second story to this house. Now you're just pulling my leg, game.
Wait, what?
Okay, nope. Now there's music in the house and the living room furniture's on the ceiling. Nothing to see here. Where did I misplace that second story staircase? Each time you reach something eerie, you can always go back to the safety and comfort of the bright truck with its smiling box logo and its cheery music. The truck is outside of the house, and the task list is now a narration from an unknown and aware entity to add a layer to this. Did we write this list? Is it coming from the house? I don't think the house wants us to leave. The liminal horror in this is fairly light in most cases, like the wrong spaces in, say, the Stanley Parable. Although this is meant to be a little more on the horror side, I'd say it's unsettling and not deeply disturbing. But then I knew what I was getting myself into based on the inspirations for this. Inspirations for this game include Power Wash Simulator, My House, and House of Leaves. Let me explain what those are. My House is a Doom 2 mod with a story to it about an old friend who leaves a mysterious Doom mod made of his friend's house. And once you get into it, there's impossible geometry and changing rooms and music, and it's spooky and fun. And I watched a nearly 2-hour video about the mod. It's super cool.
That was a
and
good clearly, video.
Yes, right? It's clearly inspired by the book House of Leaves, which, as previously mentioned, is a mindfuck of a book by Mark Danielewski, who, little side trivia, is the musician Poe's brother. And the Haunted album is full of references to the book and even includes Mark reading a section of the book in the video version of Hey Pretty. House of Leaves is a story within a story interpreted by someone going mad doing so, about a house documented by the Navidson family of having a 5.5-minute-long hallway and impossible house dimensions. As the book goes on, the typography of the book changes into uncomfortable formats, and sideways printed scrawling in the book will make you feel uneasy if you can handle reading it across its many layers and off formatting. Then there's the theme song for Moving Houses, which was modeled after Too Many Cooks, a catchy, wild sitcom-themed Adult Swim video that first aired at 4 a.m. one fateful night and was viral by the next day. Moving Houses song is best features at the end of the game and reminded me a little of how the end song in Portal tells more of the story. All of these are worth mentioning as a baseline for what to expect in Moving Houses, but you might enjoy this just as much without knowing all the stuff because it's the light version of a darker narrative that it's inspired by. There were a few little Easter eggs, like a picture of the dev in a frame, little dragon after their other game, Air and the Crystal Comet, which I mentioned because I love seeing indie devs across their body of work as they improve and change. This was a welcome treat of a game for me. It had full Xbox controller support. It was built with Steam Deck in mind. There are two bonuses to the game, extra packing mode where you can focus on the packing, and there's some cut content available for you to play once you finish the game. I also love the humor that even the patch notes feed into the meta of the game. As an example, this one from the other day fixed a bug with duplicate front doors. The front door should not misbehave anymore. The front door has been told it needs to do better. The house is sorry.
You're all welcome.
Aki, tell us your thoughts.
Well, on that, I'm the reason why it got fixed.
Yeah.
I found a lot of... I found bugs in this game because I'm me. I break everything I touch. I did not find this to be particularly horror-y because I don't find liminal spaces to be unsettling in any way whatsoever. That's just a normal day in my life as far as I'm concerned. So for me, I got a lot more out of this just from the simple packing mechanics. It was just a really chillax game. I like things like unpacking and stuff like that. They're just fun little things to do, and for me, that's where I got all of my joy out of this. When it started doing all the weird stuff, like it takes you out of the house into these other landscapes, I didn't particularly enjoy any of that because I really just wanted to go back and pack up another room. Yeah.
I don't want a horror game. I just want to pack shit.
Exactly. The great thing is, after you beat the game, as stated, you unlock two extra modes. The cut content is just a different version of a fragment of the game.
Like the horror stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's you go into a basement that didn't exist to turn the power back on. And it's just a different way of doing that they decided they didn't like that way and removed it and put in what's actually in the game. And then the extra packing mode was my favorite mode. All it did was add a whole bunch more shit for you to pack. So obviously I enjoyed that, because that's what I liked about the game. So instead of a room having, like, you know, 10 things to pack, it might have 30 instead. Just a very simple thing. And yeah, I enjoyed it. Except for that, you know, one fragment of a horror bit of going outside. Lots of the horror stuff in this that was trying to make you feel uncomfortable or anxious or whatever just didn't faze me, sadly. So I honestly, until the halfway point of this game, I didn't even realize it was supposed to be a horror game. Honestly.
I would say it was light. I mean, that's the best way I would put it.
Extremely light, yeah.
But, well, yeah. It's $13. What do the two of you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. The combination of happy physics packing game with liminal space horror was fun for me. The game doesn't outstay its welcome in terms of time, and I would say buy it. And I also hope it gets ported to console. We've already gotten one of their games over on Xbox. Maybe we'll get more.
That would be cool.
I also think it's a nice little buy it. I like packing things. I like chill games.
Cool. Sounds good. Moving on. I am holding Simon in my arms because he is getting annoying. Right, Simon? Right, buddy? No, you're just going to lick your arm. All right, next game to talk about, Spot the Differences Party, developed and published by Sanic Games, released October 2nd on Series X and S for $9.99. The most complete difference... The most complete difference game on consoles, in an all-new version with gorgeous 4K graphics. Play solo or with up to three friends and see who is the quickest spotter. Bree, what is going on in Spot the Differences Party?
There are 300 photos to find the differences with. Photos are all credited and come from like stock photo fair use sites. You can play this in casual mode with no timer and infinite hints, or try and get streaks with the timer on. You'll have to be sharp and dedicated to get some of the achievements in this, like one for getting a streak of 50 photos in a row in timed mode. Each photo has five quick differences to find between the two nearly identical pictures. Sometimes things are really obvious, like a red bow has been added onto the photo. Other times things are blurred or color changed and more difficult to discern. You can also play this in party mode with up to three other people locally and see who can score the fastest. You have your own colored and numbered cursors, and you race to find the differences. There are photos ranging from animals to architecture, and they're all beautiful. There's also a photo album you can peruse once you've unlocked a picture through gameplay that will show you the artist's name and a quick toggle of the altered photo. So you could effectively memorize some of the photo differences in case you come across them randomly in play. It appears the only way to get achievements and unlock things is the timed mode. There's also a broken get all the achievements achievement.
No.
I had a good time with it. It worked as it was supposed to. If you don't care about the achievements, it's a fun puzzle game with a simple concept. So yeah.
So 300 pictures, 3,000 differences to find, $10 to spend. What are your thoughts?
I would say try it or buy it on sale. It was okay unless you love Spot the Difference image puzzles. Like, this could get boring kind of fast. I could only sit and do so many at a time. I found that this was more fun at like a casual level and not for the achievements.
Yeah, this seems like one of those games that you would just pick up and play for like 10, 15 minutes. And it seems like something good this that is something quick I would resume on my Switch. Would use.
Yes, quick resume. This would be great on my Switch, which I think it's on Switch as well. I don't know. But this is the Xbox release, so yeah.
But overall decent?
Yeah, like I said, try it or buy it on a sale.
Sounds good. Next up, Before Exit Supermarket, developed and published by Take It Studio, released October 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $6.99. In Before Exit Supermarket, as a supermarket employee, your job is to close the store at night. With everyone gone, your supervisor is giving you the responsibility to lock up. Can you handle it? Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Aki, start us off this time, if you're not muted.
I don't. Am I muted? Please tell me I'm not good. Muted. Oh, thank fuck for that.
You know what? Y'all are a bunch of dicks. Like, if I did the same thing, you'd all be quiet. Ugh.
Jacob just wanted to say something to feel relevant.
What the hell?
I love you, Bree.
Y'all mean.
Holy shit.
Okay, Jacob, great. You're going to get your time on the rest of the show.
Jacob's all like,
I'm going to need you to fuck off, sir.
So
Before Exit Supermarket, what's going on in this game?
In this, you play as some employee, and you are the only employee working at this little shitty supermarket. Your boss is an asshole, and he will fire you for any tiny little thing you have fucked up. Why? Because he's an asshole. Because he's a boss. That's their whole existence. So you are tasked with making sure everything's clean, flipping the board to say closed, and then making sure every single door is shut. And when I say every single door, I mean, you know, the door to the bathroom, the individual stall doors, the toilet has to be closed because that counts as a door too. And as you play through the game, you're meant to play through a week, a full 7-day week. If you make it to the end without being fired, you get promoted, and the game throws you back to the main menu, and you start over again.
Not before they give you, like, a weird celebration, though, for your promotion. It was, like,
we don't
really
want to talk about that.
Ugh. It was really weird.
Their character models are some of the creepiest fucking things on the planet, and we're just not going to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, let's save the ending for the people who get there. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, it's horrific. you all don't have to worry about reaching it. Most of the times I played through the entire 7-day week was like 15 minutes long. But while you're playing through the days, you'll be given random tasks. And the thing is, these are randomly drawn out of a pool of 20. And there's an achievement for playing through and finishing all 20 of the different tasks that you can have. Because they're drawn randomly, you may play through it 7, 8, 9 times, and therefore go through 7 times that many numbers of tasks and still not get through 20. I think it took me 12 times of playing through the entire game from day 1 to day 7 before I finally got the last one. So yeah, it can be kind of a pain in the ass. But some of these are, you know, just going out and cleaning up messes from where people pissed on the floor or something, and then picking up the wet floor signs, to picking out rotten fruit and getting rid of them, to, oh, well, where'd everything in the store go?
That was a weird one. That one shocked me. I was like, what do I do? Is there a phone number I should call? Have we been robbed?
There's multiple of those. And, you know, sometimes it's down to, oh, go pick up all these random ass boxes and put them in the back. Or, hey, go stock the shelves. Which, for me, that part was my personal hell. I don't know how many times.
Oh, you liked packing before, but you don't like stocking shelves?
No, not in this game. You have no idea.
It's a little awkward.
Well, not only is it awkward, if you don't see where to place them all and you miss one, you have failed that day and you get one chance to restart it. And if you fail at that time, you're fucked all over again. And then you have to play through it a whole bunch of times in hopes that you can get that same task sometime within the next dozen playthroughs. And it sucks because that one's just really hard to see. At least for me, it was very hard to see where stuff was missing to know what items I needed to grab and stock. Because you're given like a dozen different things that you can stock the area with, and multiple of each of them. And there's only like 5 to 7 items that are missing, but it's throughout the entire store. I didn't find all of them. I went through it like 3 or 4 times. 3 or 4 different times of starting this task, meaning I failed it twice in a row and then had to play a whole bunch of games until I found it again, only to fail twice in a row again. So I did not like that one. I liked all the rest of it. It was fine, but that one, that sucked. But yeah, it's just doing pretty basic stuff, and it was a nice... It was really fun for me because, you know, you got into the role of it and, you know, it wasn't quite mindless, but it was pretty close. Because you still have to pay some attention, but it's not like you don't have to really focus in. Once you understand, oh, I've opened the door, I've seen these few things, I know what this task is now. I know what the entire building's basically going to look like. I can just quickly go do this and then get the fuck up out of here and go to the next day and hopefully it'll be something new. Woohoo. And yeah, I thought it was a fun little game personally. What about you, Brie?
So yeah, I kind of was calling it some like a cross between a simulator and a Spot the Difference game. like Project 13 or something like that, where you kind of you have to learn the store to really know what to go on. There's no tutorial. You're just dropped into the store with like one little thing on the wall that says don't forget to turn off the lights and flip the sign and whatever. And did I mention don't forget to flip the store sign to close? Oh my goodness, that one thing bit me so many times in the first few tries.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, it is. You have to go in and learn the store, and then you get, you know, again, once you get a repeat scenario, it gets a little bit easier to go through your day or get to the end of your week. But some of them, like I walked into the store and the lights are all off, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? There's I finally decided to use the trash bins inside the store. And then I realized that they got filled up and I had to empty them, but I didn't realize I could put trash bags back into the bin and totally got fired.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll do that.
I was doing so good too. So yeah, it's a learning experience that you kind of have to figure out as you go. Like there's times where you'll see there's a cart isn't always there. And the cart could mean that you have to mop the floor. It could mean that you have to replenish toilet paper. It could be there because you might need to replace trash bags because you have rotting fruit and things. Like, so there's little hints as to what the scenario is. But I had a really good time with this one.
Yeah, and I'm just going to let all y'all know real quick. The moment, if any of y'all get this and you find the rotten fruit, just pick them up and throw them on the floor.
That would save a lot of time.
Yeah, because eventually the mess from that just fades over time, and they explode into nothing. So just pick them all up, throw them on the floor, and go do the other stuff you need to do. By the time you're done with it, that stuff will be gone. You don't have to clean it up or anything. It's fantastic.
That is a good time-saving tip.
Yep.
All right, well, before exit supermarket clocks in at $7, what do you think?
Yes, 100%.
I think the price is right. The RNG can make it a little hard to 100% the game achievement-wise, but if you're into Sims and like spot the difference type of game, I would say it's a buy it for me.
Sounds good. All right, Bree, one last game for you is Cat in Rain, developed by Maria, published by Phoenix Reborn Games, released September 25th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99 each. Dive into the whimsical and challenging world of Cat in Rain, a captivating 2D precision platformer that combines classic gameplay with pixel art graphics. Prepare for an adventure where every step matters and every jump counts. Whether you're a seasoned platformer veteran or a curious newcomer, Cat in Rain has something for everyone. Bree, did it have something for you?
Well, this is a catformer, by which I mean a cat platformer with a little orange cat. Because of its precision nature, it requires you to use the D-pad for movement, and jumping is with A. You can play this on easy or hardcore. Easy doesn't change the game, it just gives you more health. There are 50 levels to endure. Pretty simple premise. You start out each level with full health, and you need to get to the door at the end. The bricks in this game are orange, so is the cat. And there were a few other graphic design choices, like putting the big red hearts so large across the screen I could barely see them over the orange walls. You have your standard assortment of spikes, jump pads, buttons that add or remove platforms, crumbling boxes, stompy stones, and cannons. If you fall into an area, there was way too often no way to get back up after leaving you looking for a way to kill yourself, which on easy was tedious because you have so much health.
You could pause and restart.
Yeah, or breakable platforms don't return, leaving you stranded. And so often you're expected to blindly jump into an area where you will almost definitely take damage. I found a lot of the level design to be frustrating. I found the jumps to be finicky, like there often wasn't enough headroom to clear a jump to a platform or to avoid damage from cannon fire most of the time. There was no real story to the game, and the game didn't have any rain in it, despite the title. They used
No rain.
Free AI for the cover art. The sound the cat made when it took damage was awful. There was one saving grace, at least on easy. If you die a couple of times, the game asks you if you want to skip the level. And I said yes a lot. That will unlock the next level for you, even in the menu. But if the level ends in 5 or 0 and you want that achievement, you actually need to complete the level. So it was a game. It's good for easy achievements. It was not an exciting precision platformer.
No.
No.
Well, it's only $5. What are your thoughts on Cat and Rain being $5?
Sadly, I would still say deny it. I played through both the Xbox and the Series version and got the 100%, and I was frustrated and just unentertained.
Mm. Well, that's a shame. Cat games, yeah. Always a bummer when you got to give a cat game a deny it.
Or any game, for that matter. I mean, like, I feel like I try to choose games I think I'm going to enjoy, and sometimes they're just not up to snuff.
Yeah.
Can't all be winners, unfortunately. This is only the second time I've denied anything on the show, so, yeah.
All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you go so you can get to your sailing.
Yeah.
Yar.
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 Thick. Yar.
And for once, Jacob, I am not going to be the last one out of here. You will get, because I am fucking tired and I'm going to bed now.
I get to be the last one?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Be
just us, Jacob.
Yeah, ooh, the rest of us SML don't have to listen to you anymore. I'm so sorry, Joe.
After dark.
Thick.
Which long face?
Bree and Aki, any final words?
Bree, I'll let you have this. I'm too tired to think.
Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed or disappointed in yourself ever. That is a job for your parents.
Yeah, that's be ashamed true. Of Jacob instead.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Good night, Bree.
Get easy. See ya. How's it feel, Jacob? It's just us.
I mean, it's not that different, really. I mean, the quiet is nice.
Yeah.
Not having to hear Aki's.
Well, kind of nice. Thanks to the soundboard, we'll always have Aki.
Did I just have a stroke?
It's like always having you.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Yay! See?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Fun for everyone.
Is it, though? Is it?
Anyway, next game to talk about, Goobin Balloons DX, developed by Iconic Arts, published by Iconic Arts and Nezhcraft, released September 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $9.99. Evil forces have invaded Goobstar. Join Goober and his friends on their quest to save the denizens of planet Goobstar from the invading balloon menace in this wacky hand-drawn shoot 'em up and watch the world grow around you. Jacob, what is Goobin Balloons DX?
So, I'm not going to lie. I took this game because I thought that this was going to be like another one of the usual like cheaper games that I've been reviewing, like the cheaper indie games where it's just like, you know, they're essentially borrowing from other better genres or titles and stuff like that, and you know, it's just like a $5-$10 effort, and I thought this was going to be an easy review. No, this game is honestly quite the surprise, especially, I mean, for me, not going in there with like little to nothing on it. And it is a very nice surprise. So what it is that, yeah, it's a basic shoot 'em up. Think of it closer to more like Space Invaders kind of a shoot 'em up. But essentially what you're doing is that you're just popping all of these balloons that come down from the sky, and like the balloons eventually, you know, can speed up, but you can't get hit by anything. Otherwise you die and you have to restart the level. Thankfully none of the levels really last more than 3 minutes, but you have to shoot all these balloons and they're flying all over the place, and the game will introduce new types of balloons. So like there's enemies that you end up having to shoot, and like some of them are like just absolute jerks, and like they'll just like expand and then like fall on you. Other ones, like, they'll drop these heavy objects, which if they didn't squish you to begin with, they're going to start rolling around the screen. And it becomes this very, like, chaotic and, chaotic fun, as you're trying to, you know, shoot all these balloons, get however many points you're supposed to get. Some levels you just have to, like, survive for X amount of time. Other ones, you have to get X amount of points, stuff like that. And I thought that I would get really tired of this real quickly, but the game makers actually make each level nice and fresh. So even though you're dealing with, like, the same enemies, a lot of the times, you're going to be dealing with different rules. Like, there was one level where you couldn't hit a bird. And if you did, then, like, the bird would die and then the level's over. There was another one where you could only pop certain kinds of balloons. And so you have to really aim your shots really well while also dodging all these enemies that are falling around you. And there is, like, a story that goes along with it. It's kind of light. Like, there's not really a whole lot to it. But what's cool is that you start picking up all these friends along the way who are trapped. And with those friends, you're going to unlock different characters that you can play as. You can unlock different cosmetic items. And I keep saying, but
that's nothing new.
Yeah, that's true. there is a co-op mode, which, you know, is pretty fun, for the couch, but, it's a really fun, shoot 'em up arcade kind of experience. I really like how it just keeps the levels, zippy, but also fresh at the same time. And I like it, with the arcade feel, you could move from, like, the left side of the screen. If you moved off screen, you'd show up on the right side of the screen. And that was kind of cool, because then you could, like, plan out your defenses, like, moving away from, you know, the enemies, while also keep up, like, a steady barrage of your little laser pellet, whatever it is. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
Cool. Well, how much is it?
I don't know. I didn't listen.
You idiot. $10. What's it?
Really?
What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. Yeah, $10, totally get it at this price. That's a great price for this game. There's a lot of content in it, and it's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out.
Cool, sounds good. Next game, Behold Battle, developed by Lasse Zecho Malvare. Hopefully I said that right. Published by Samustai Limited, released September 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $6.99. Behold Battle is a simple auto battler where you see heroes and monsters fight to the death in randomly generated battles. Jacob, what is Behold Battle?
So Behold Battle is an interesting little title. Essentially what it is you have two sides of a battlefield, and you have to pick out which side you think is going to win. And each side will have, like, their own stats, like here's 120 goblins versus 35 mages, and, like, here's their stats for stuff. Who do you think is going to win? And then you watch the battle unfold, and it's entertaining to watch. I'm not gonna lie, like, if you want to, like, make sure, like, if you want to, like, keep playing on the Xbox and collecting achievements while you're having a meal, this is an excellent game to have play during it. I mean, usually I would throw on, like, Soul Calibur Battle Theater for something like this, but this keeps it up varied enough with all the different like monsters and, like, warriors and stuff like that that you could see, that, yeah, like, it keeps me entertained. This is not revolutionizing the industry, but,
like, what do you do in the game? Like, I don't understand what exactly you do in the game.
You do nothing.
Just pick? You just pick.
Yeah, you just pick one of two sides, and then you see who wins. And if you lose, then you lose one of your hearts, which, in the game, like, for every three battles that you correctly predict, you get an extra heart, up to 3 hearts. And so you're just trying not to lose. And then if you do, you just start over again. They're like, there is a regular simulator thing if you just want to like toss shit at a wall and see what, you know, what happens. And that one, like, there's no real game, like there's even less gameplay involved with that. Yeah. But I'm not going to lie, that one's a little bit more helpful because then you can study the different monsters and like how they work and stuff like that. And then later on when you're actually playing the game, then you have a better idea as to who's probably going to win this.
Gotcha. All right. Well, the game clocks in at a whopping $7. What are your thoughts?
I've paid more for worse movies that I've watched. Like, I mean, if you just like watching, like, it's like a $7 screensaver, essentially. Like, I don't know. I was entertained by it. Like, as I said, like, I would watch it while I was eating a quick meal. Like, it's entertaining for what it is. It's not great, but, you know, try it at the very least.
All right. Sounds good. Next up, Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel, developed by Shinyadin and Sunsoft, published by Radlake Games. Released October 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $5.99. Who said bad guys can't be heroes? Error, the Acrobat's infamous enemy comes for some serious ninja squirrel action with an adventure of his own. Jacob, what is going on in Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel?
So, Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel is a spinoff of the Arrow the Acrobat series that I've reviewed the 2 previous entries. He's one of the bosses that you had to fight in one of the games. And so the story picks up with him being like, oh no, I have to go back to my homeland because it's under attack. And Ector is like, well, if you do that, you're going to regret it. Like, no, I have to go back. All right, I understand. No, he doesn't understand. In fact, he's sending all of his forces after you to make you regret having like disagreed with him on something. Like, this dude is not a reasonable employer. I mean, like, you're gonna say that Zero couldn't have taken like off like some PTO or something for this? I don't know. But anywho, so it's pretty much you just trying to get back to your people while also evading Ector. And I had high hopes for this because, you know, I mean, with the 2 previous Arrow games, it was obvious that the devs were like, you know, they were definitely like learning and applying new ideas and making for a much smoother experience. And I know that this is like they wanted to have a more run and gun kind of experience with this game, but it's just, it's frustrating. Like, they definitely, like the level design is fine, if not a little bit more difficult from the Arrow games. And I had a lot more trouble handling him in combat than I did with Arrow. And it's not like I expected him to operate the same way. But there were a couple of times within this game that I actually got soft locked because of just how the game works. Like on the what I believe is to be like the final stage, like you're running along this train track. Like, I mean, you're on a train or not. Sorry. No, you're not on a train. That's Arrow the Acrobat 2. I'm sorry. You're in a cave with volcanic stuff. Sorry. And if you happen to fall in one of the pits, obviously, oh, you died. You lose one of your lives. Well, the thing is, based on where it left the save for this room, you keep spawning behind this door that is supposed to shut when you enter this area. And so, like, you, like, it just automatically kills your character because he's not in the in an area where he's supposed to be. And I guess, like, that's just how the game handles it. Like, oh, well, he's not supposed to be there. You die. And so, yeah, you just end up losing all your lives because you get because you got locked back here by the game. That was like the I actually grabbed a video of that because I was just like, what the heck, man? But I felt that the level design was better with it, but I was also kind of disappointed too with the boosts that this game gives you. Much like the other two Arrow games, there's various assists that will help you do better in the game, infinite ninja stars, infinite health. At the same time, there's a warning if you activate the invincibility that it can actually cause you to not be able to beat the final boss. And so I left invincibility off for that part of the game, but I left infinite health on. I don't know what the difference between the two of them is, because I still can't beat the final boss with only just infinite health. So it, even the assists were kind of broken in this game. Weird. And I was just, it was just disappointing. I really wanted to like this, because it's just the Arrow series is this weird, I don't want to say footnote in 90s video gaming, but it's just, it's a series you don't hear much about. And I was really hoping that with this rediscovery that, we'd get more out of it. And it's just, I kind of felt let down by this one too.
Well, it clocks in at $6. What are your thoughts on Zero?
I'd suggest waiting for a sale, but at the same time, I think it's important to buy games like this because it encourages devs to dip further into the well and re-release old games, so we get a chance to judge them, on their gameplay merits as adults. I'd say buy it, but wait for a sale.
All right. Well, it is on sale right now for the next 2 weeks for $4.79. I don't know how much cheaper it'll get compared to that, but your thoughts there?
Yeah, go for it. I mean, because that's under $5. You can't really lose on that.
All right. Next up, Cats with Guns, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games, released October 1st on Xbox One and Series X and S, and then Windows for $4.99 on each platform, console, and PC. Cats with Guns is a 2D casual game with roguelite elements where you can make strategic decisions in the middle of battle and go from a small kitten to a powerful and intimidating feline. Evolve your cat and overwhelm the enemy forces with powerful abilities, fight sheer number of enemies with huge firepower, and defeat the generals until you reach Meowstopia. Jacob, what is Cats with Guns?
So Cats with Guns is very much a... it's another one out of that survivors genre. And you're just running, you're a cat with a gun and you're running around just killing all these rats, in different rats or mice, in these different forms. And you could get upgrades for different powers. So, and it's the standard stuff like different shields or acid, or fire. That springs up behind you, or grenades where stuff will explode. This one is really the standard, kind of weaponry and stuff that you see in the genre. So it's really not it's reinventing the wheel with this. After every, I think it's 5 minutes, you have to beat a boss. They're honestly not that difficult to beat, and the game really doles out the cash and the experience for you to level up pretty quickly. So it's real quick to get all three different cats that you can play as. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed that the cats themselves were not that much. I don't know. I was disappointed. There was really only three of them. You know,
one has a gun, one has a knife. With
and
the
one
gun.
Is nothing.
No, the third one has a bazooka.
I thought the first one doesn't have anything.
The first one has a gun.
Oh, okay.
It's a twin stick. You control twin
stick. Right. I get you. Yeah. Okay.
And then the second has a knife that goes with the gun. And then the third one has the fucking bazooka.
Right. Okay.
That blows crap up.
Yeah. And so it's just... you know, you mow through it pretty quick. You get your 1K, and
yeah, I think I did the PC version in like a half hour. It's not,
yeah,
it's not an overwhelmingly intense game. It's just a quick.
Honestly, it's the most chill Survivors game that I've played. I'll give it that.
It is a really chill Survivors game. I actually enjoyed this one a lot because of how chill and laid back it was. And, like, I didn't have to stress out with it. I could just go through it and have fun.
Yeah.
And unlock the cats.
I wish there was more. Like, I was really disappointed that there was only three.
Yeah. It's one of those games that you get the 1,000 on and you're like, that's it? I can't have more?
Yeah.
Like, you could play it more if you want, obviously, but
yeah,
there's not much else to unlock. You don't get extra abilities. You just unlock the three cats, and that's it.
Yeah, like, it would be, like, if they made, like, DLC, where it's, like, you know, for $1, you get 5 new cats with, you know, all different new weapons and stuff like that, I'd pick that up. Heck, I'd probably pay more than $1 for it.
Yeah, well, it's $5 for cats with guns. What do you say?
Yeah. Go for it. $5 is a good price for it.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. We got one final game to talk about tonight, and we are going to Kids Corner. George, take it away.
Kids Corner! With Jacob and friends.
It's such an adorable intro. Looney Tunes, Wacky World of Sports, developed by Bamtang Games, published by Game Mill Entertainment, released September 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $49.99. Get ready for basketball, soccer, golf, and tennis combined into one Looney Tunes sports game. Gain power-ups to incite chaos against your friends and family as you control your favorite Looney Tunes character in four-player local co-op mayhem. But watch out for falling anvils. Jacob, what's going on in Looney Tunes Wacky World of Sports?
So Looney Tunes Wacky World of Sports is, believe it or not, a sports game with
the Looney
Tunes characters. I know. I was surprised. So with this game, you have various Looney Tunes characters, like pretty much it's the standards: Bugs, Daffy, Roadrunner, Yosemite Sam comes as DLC for this game, but yeah, you can play as different, like Porky Pig's also another one. I was blanking on the pig, I don't know why. He was always one of my favorite characters as a kid too. So anyway, each of the characters has different stats associated with them. So, like, one character might have a lot of endurance. One character might have better accuracy. Another one might have faster speed. And so when you're building your teams for each of the sports, you have to, like, consider how that's going to affect how you're playing out. And the game has four different sports. You have basketball, golf, soccer, and
tennis.
Yeah, man, I thought I had said tennis, and I was just like, wait a
basketball,
second,
basketball, soccer, golf tennis.
Yeah, okay, so we'll go down each of the sports. I'm gonna start with basketball. So basketball is a 2-on-2 multiplayer game, and again, you have to pick your sides, who you're going to be having on your team. And so it might be helpful for you to have one guy who's really speedy and one guy who has better endurance, because that guy will be able to take more hits from your other opponents, because essentially you're just trying to steal the ball, get it down to your side of the court, and then make your baskets from either a 3-point or a 2-pointer. And the game, it tries to move along pretty quick. But it just, I'm not going to lie, like, for a kid's basketball game, it was not a lot of fun for myself, and my kids weren't really big fans of it either. I mean, like, when you got a 3-pointer, that was cool, but part of the problem is that the AI, like, if you start getting like a decent lead on the AI, all of a sudden it'll just ramp it up, even if you have it set to easy. And next thing you know, it'll be like 40-38 in no time. And it's just, it's just, I don't know if it's like, if it does it like to create excitement during the game, but if anything, it just felt more frustrating, especially as I was trying to play with my kids and all of a sudden, like, they're freaking out because they're like, they're thinking that, you know, oh, I have the mechanics of this game down, and the game's like, nope.
It's like the old NBA Jam and NFL Blitz games where they had to keep it close.
Yeah. And it just, if anything, it felt unfair. Like, all the, like, just the, like, how they'd suddenly be able to block every single thing that came across. And you can use power-up moves during all of these different sports.
Well, what about soccer? Yeah,
it just... Soccer was like, it's another multiplayer game, and essentially it's a soccer game with, you know, the Looney Tunes characters. It was really frustrating on this one because it really felt like the only way that you could actually score a goal is by using a power move. Meanwhile, your goalie is Granny, so guess how well that works.
Oh, gee.
yeah, and it's just, yeah, it's a soccer game, it plays like a soccer game, but it never really felt that fun. Like, it just felt like the AI was just trouncing on us like the whole entire time. Yeah,
what about tennis?
I was really hoping for. I really was. So it is a standard tennis game, and you're just, you know, you're just trying to score points on your opponent. And the AI actually seemed pretty even on it. However, the controls, like, it, my character would just frequently stop during court matches. Or, like, I'd try to set up a shot, and for whatever reason, it would just whiff right by my character. Even though I've got my racket set, I release at the correct time. And it's just, they just swung through it and I still lost the point. And so I frequently lost a lot trying to play tennis. I did win some matches, but it just felt like a slog just trying to get through it. It didn't feel very fun, I'm not going to lie.
We're like 0-3. How's golf? Please tell me golf is decent.
Golf was actually decent. It is a standard golf game, and you can use your, like, little power-ups to, like, help propel the ball along pretty far. But, yeah, it's just, you have to plan for spin, you have to plan for wind, and you just have to get the ball in the cup. Thankfully, this one, it was decently done. I don't have any complaints about it. It wasn't hard to score an accurate shot. The game definitely seemed to do a little bit more handholding with this, tutorial compared to the other sports. But honestly, this was the only one I ever found, like, fun and relaxing. With this, like. And it was the only game that, like, the kids and I enjoyed playing together. Yeah, my kids they never played tennis, as far as I know. They got so frustrated with soccer and basketball that they were like, we're just going to watch Dad play this.
Oh, man. Well, let's talk about price on this one. The game clocks.
Hold up. I'm not done yet, though. Graphically speaking, I was not blown away with this. And granted, I don't expect a lot from licensed kids games. But the graphics really didn't look that much better than Looney Tunes Acme Arsenal, which was released back on the 360. Just the character model, like, it went for this, like, kind of cell shaded look, and it just didn't look good. And on top of it, none of the sports arenas or courts where you're playing, like, they just didn't do anything for me. Like, if I feel like if anybody did their homework in this game on the Looney Tunes franchise to make it feel like a Looney Tunes thing, it was the art designer who was designing for all, like, who was creating all the models for the characters in the stands, because they did their homework. They did, like, they there's a lot of, like, characters who only appear in, like, two or three Looney Tunes cartoons in, like, their entire time, but, like, were still memorable characters. They're in the stands. That's cool. Like, I appreciated that. It would have been nice if there was, like, a kind of like a Smash Brothers, like, secret helper kind of thing with the power up, or like how Mortal Kombat does it, and, like, bring one of those guys in as, like, a, you know, some sort of help. But it just, for a game I wasn't expecting much from, it still felt like it missed a lot of good opportunities on it. I wanted to like it. I really wanted to like it.
No, we got to talk price. Normal game is $50. They have a deluxe edition for $60 that includes Yosemite Sam. Give us your thoughts on everything.
Not for $50. No. Wait for a sale on this. Like, I mean, I'd be willing to revisit this if there's going to be improvements done for it, but I don't know whether that's something like that's going to happen. But I would, like, the only way I'd recommend getting this is if it's steeply discounted.
So deny it.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's a decent golf game. I found everything else to be lacking.
And I had high hopes for this one too. So that's a bummer. That is it for this episode. We made it through. Jacob, thanks for being here and sticking around the whole episode.
Thank you.
Since you're the only one who cared.
Aww.
Aww. Are we doing cartoon voices to end the show?
Aww. We could.
Aww. Oh, gee, Jacob, I mean, what are we going to do at the end of the show?
Gee, Joe, I don't know.
I think we're going to listen. I think we're going to listen to some music.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. How about from the 1UPs?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
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 Hey.
Now you sound like Rocky.
Hey.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Eh, well. Final words to end the show.
I'm not sure, because, I mean, we ended it with a kids review, so we had to keep it clean. So, looking forward to next week.
I think I have to draw Jacob attention to that. Corner. That we have to.
What?
You're weird.
What? What did I draw attention to?
Keeping it clean.
Oh, well.
You weirdo.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're adults. We talk about adult things. We use adult words. Kids, if you're listening, you shouldn't be using those words. If you listen to Aki, don't.
The only thing you're allowed to say from this show is
yay! Yay!
Yay!
Thank you.